You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, this is Phil Rogers, MLB.com Extras, Chicago Cubs edition. As always, joined by Kerry Muscat. Kerry, you enjoying this Arizona sun as much as I am?
Yes. I'm not allowed to talk about the weather when I call home to my husband, but the weather here has been just perfect.
Yeah, that's a fair point that you just kind of have to slide past those topics. But, you know, for like all Midwesterners, I know you got a little head start on it, got here early, but that SPF 30 to 230 should cover us, I think. Kerry, the biggest story in camp, I think it's probably going to be the big story around the Cubs all year. You know, hopefully the players will eclipse it, but the change in manager, Joe Madden, you know, always seems to the big personality kind of carry over. What's your take on the first week of Joe Madden running a Chicago Cubs camp?
Well, I know it's much louder than it ever has been in the past. Joe likes to have music during the pregame stretch. So today it was his pick, his mix, and it included a little Bruce Springsteen, Born to Run. Usually they're just out here in the desert, and all you hear are the birds and the airplanes flying over, and that's about it. But Joe likes to get the blood pumping, and that's sort of the way we've started the day, is with a little rowdy music.
Yeah, I've been out there and heard a little Latin music. It almost looked like guys, I wasn't sure if they were stretching or they were dancing on that nicely mown grass outside the clubhouse.
No, I think it's just, I've been told that Madden might let others pick the music. We're not sure if that means players or coaches or what they're going to do, but it should be interesting.
Okay. One thing that surprised me a little bit at the start of spring, I don't know about you, but Chris Bryant, a name that's going to be as big a name as any in Arizona this spring in the Cubs camp and outside based on expectations for him. News that he will work out in the outfield as well as at third base. What's your take on that? Is that just because they like versatile players, or do you think that is at all a judgment that, you know, maybe we're not as committed to him at third base as it had seemed?
No, I think it's more just because they like versatile players. I mean, let's say, for example, Mike Olt, you know, goes on a tear and is good to go at third base. You know, then Bryant, they start Bryant at AAA, and Bryant is really hot. Well, where do you put him? You know, where do you put these guys? I think it's just a matter of let's move everybody around. Madden also wants to have Tommy La Stella, an infielder that they got from the Braves. He wants to have him play third base. The guy's never played third base in professional ball. You know, they're just trying to move people around, just to have them all exposed to different places. I don't think we'll see Brian in the outfield anytime soon, but I think it's just a matter of just making sure that. Guys, they have some versatile guys off the bench, and let's say Bryant, you know, is needed in the outfield. Boom, there you go.
Yeah, and certainly an outfielder's arm. I was talking to a guy who's seen him play a lot in the Arizona Fall League after the 2013 season, and he said one thing he didn't really expect was what a strong arm he has. So for all the adjectives and hyperbole about him, you know, I think this is a complete player with all sorts of tools.
Yeah, and I think they're going to have him play a lot more third than outfield, so I'm not sure it's that big a deal with the position moves.
And, you know, the one opening, it would appear, although certainly Javier Baez, the front runner, second base, Joe Madden's famous line by now that we're not in an entitlement program. You know, Arismendi Alcantara, who played mostly center field last year, probably as versatile as anybody on the roster. Dexter Fowler has taken the regular center field job. Do you think Arismendi would get a look in that second base derby, or is there already kind of a commitment to make him the Ben Zobra super utility guy and move him around the field, and maybe he gets 400 at bats, but they're not at one position? Could he wind up as a regular second baseman?
I guess so. I know one of the things the Cubs said when Madden was looking at video of some of the guys on the roster was how much he liked Alcantara and how much he liked the idea of making him, using him the way he used Zobrist with the Rays. So I would think that he might move around a little bit more. On the first day of the first full squad workout, Alcantara was at second base with Baez and for now, and I think Joe wants to see him there probably a little more than the outfield. It's early. I think the mission right now is for Madden to sort of get a feel for these guys, what they can do, what they can't do, and the only way they'll know is if they put them out there in the Cactus League games.
Well, it's definitely early for hitters. The pitchers have been there throwing for about a week now, and and honestly, longer than that for most of them, because guys get to spring training camps so early in this generation of players. And I think we know about John Lester and Jason Hamill, a lot of the guys that were around. But among the guys that are either new to the organization or first spring trainings, who kind of opened some eyes in those bullpens or had people talking about their work in those early throwing sessions?
I haven't really heard really anybody singled out too much. They started live BP on the first full workout day, and I know Madden was impressed with Arrieta, but he's one of the starters, and he's pretty much set. Justin Grimm looked real sharp on the first day, too, and he could be a key part. One guy that might be a sleeper that people don't talk about is Daniel Bard. He missed time last year after undergoing thoracic outlet syndrome, and he could kind of sneak into the bullpen a little bit if he can regain the form that he had in 2010, 2011 with the Red Sox. I know Theo, he was one of the AL leaders in terms of appearances, and his ERA was incredible, and he could slip in there too, and might be someone to keep an eye on. But right now it's pretty early. Guys are just doing their side work. It's a little too hard to say.
Yeah, and I'm glad you mentioned Daniel Bard, because on our website, the Cubs page, you have an excellent feature story on kind of Daniel Bard's story, and an interesting story of a guy who hit a point he's lost, whether it's from the injury, lack of confidence, kind of at an absolute low point when he was released last year by the Texas Rangers. How did he come back? What did he do with that? I think it's a great little story.
Well, he was trying to kind of make his corrections on the mound instead of being patient, and then working on the side. And part of the reason was it wasn't anything to do with what the Rangers did, but it was part of it was because his contract was up in June and he sort of had to figure out what was going on. He appeared in four games for their Class A Hickory team and got 2 out of 18 batters out, and that's not really very conducive to the big leagues. So what he did was he just told his agent, his agent said other teams were interested, and he just told his agent, look, I'm taking the summer off. And he went, joined his father-in-law on Ragbri, which is a bicycle ride across Iowa in July, and then he and his wife went to Europe and drove around Europe for a month, which isn't a bad thing to do. It's something that not many major league players ever get to do during the summer, but for him it was just, he was just able to clear his mind and actually just realize that, hey, there's a life beyond baseball, and it wasn't quite so life or death. And a lot of players, I think, tend to put that pressure on themselves. Mike Olt, perfect example, too. And Bard said he feels great. He's healthy, number one. His mind is clear, and he's around a lot of people right now that have put him in a really good comfort zone. Number one being his former Red Sox minor league coach, Mike Cather, who is with him at Double A. And Mike knows him from back then when he was really sharp, knows him now. And then Chris Baggio, the Cubs pitching coach, had worked with him in September 2013 when he signed briefly with the Cubs. So he's got kind of a, as he likes to say, a new set of eyes and an old set of eyes keeping an eye on him. And it's just really, to me, it's a really cool story. It's just, if he can come back, it would just be just really a terrific story. He's somebody that a lot of people in baseball like, and he was really effective, and it would be just a nice addition for the Cubs' pen.
Yeah, and I guarantee if he has a couple of good outings once the game starts, you'll see all the Boston newspapers show up to write about a former Red Sox. One last thing, and then
we have a lot of former Red Sox people here, so you could have a Boston writer in the camp now if you wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right about that. One of the last things I wanted to ask you about was Theo Epstein's mental skills program that was announced this week, and a lot of teams have had sports psychologists for a long time now, but is this the Cubs taking us to another level to announce this program with four full-time staffers? Or not full-time,
I think it's just three full-time people. But what Theo had said was that it's part of their program that they've been trying to upgrade a little bit. They weren't real happy with the way it was going before. Theo says he remembers in Boston, he just had Bob Tewksbury as his guy trying to handle everything, and that was a little tough. I give the team credit for doing this, and I also give Joe Maddon credit, because if your manager doesn't believe in something like this, it's not going to work. You're not going to be able to sell it to the players. And I think that just the combination of Theo wanting to upgrade it and Maddon believing in this type of format or this type of assistance for the coaching, for the players, mental coaching is really key. I mean, they say the game is what's Yogi Berra saying about how much the game's 90% mental and the other half is whatever. It is a mental part of the game is really key, and this is big. And I got that quote totally screwed up, but that's okay.
Yeah, no, we all knew what you meant.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Okay.
I need to go see the coaches too. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it could be either that, or this could just be an example of Terry being Terry, which leads
That's
us into
true.
Manny Ramirez, newly employed member of the Cubs. How big do you think Manny Ramirez's role will be as a hitting consultant?
I think there's some kids that he worked with at AAA Iowa last year, like Chris Bryant and Javier Baez and Jorge Soler, and I think that they're hoping that Manny can kind of connect with them. Manny's very smart about hitting. There's no doubt about that. What I was impressed with was on his first day in camp, he addressed the media in the middle of the clubhouse, and if you asked him a question, he turned to look you right in the eye. And so he kind of, unfortunately, he had to spin around. It was like this 360-degree news conference because he kept going around answering the questions. But he wanted to make sure he looked you in the eye when he answered. And he said that he's talked to the players, I don't want you to make the same mistakes I did. And that's part of his message. And I think that's going to be really effective for the young players.
Yeah, absolutely. And, he had a good impact last year with Javier Baez right from the start. And, you can't have too many smart baseball people around. No doubt about that. Gary, I appreciate it.
No, but I also think people need to remember that, Brian Harper, who is the AAA Iowa hitting coach, he deserves some credit too. He should not be forgotten in this because he was with Javi from the very beginning of the AAA season. So Harp kind of gets lost in this because he doesn't have the 500 plus home runs that Manny does. But Harper deserves some credit for helping Javi too.
And you would say that even if the two of you guys didn't go back to the Metrodome, but...
Correct, I would, yes.
Absolutely. For Kerry Muscat, this is Phil Rogers. This has been MLB.com Extras, Chicago Cubs edition.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.